let's look at 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 28. Follow along as I read. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your mercy to us, for your grace in your word. We pray that you will open our hearts. Lord, do a work in us. Show us our need for you. Do not leave us here unchanged, but by your Spirit work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're all asking basic questions. One is, what is love? Two is, where does love come from? Three, how is it shown? How do we show love? How is it shown to us? And so I think we can answer those questions all with this book. If you need a book to talk to people about love, a lot of people go to 1 Corinthians 13, right? Love is patient, love is kind, love, you know, the one that's read at weddings. But actually, I would encourage you to go to 1 John. And if you look over in chapter 4, 1 John 4, 8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So we could ask the question, what is love? And there's a three-letter answer, God. We could also ask the question, where is it from? Back up to verse 7, 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So love is from God. How is it shown? Look at verse 9, 1 John 4, 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest or shown among us. And here it is, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Some of you younger people and older people know also the famous passage, John 3:16. Oh, guess what? It's in the book of John. And guess what? It's the same John who wrote 1 John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how God showed his love. It's a very simple message, isn't it? What is love? God is love. Where is it from? It's from God. How is it shown? By sending his Son. Life is through him. He created us for a relationship with himself. Did you see that in verse 9? God sent his only Son into the world. Why? Why did he do that? So that we might live through him. Very simple. Relationship. And God's relational love. I want to talk about three things that it does this morning. It gives us a new identity, a new practice, and a new confidence. Very simple. So first of all, the magnificent love of God gives us a new identity. But before we jump into new, we have to know what's old, right? You can't appreciate something new unless you had something that was old. I'm thinking cars. Can't appreciate a new car unless you had a car that was old, right? We don't have a car yet, but we're working on it. So what was old with our old identity? Well, a long time ago, we had a perfect identity in Adam, right? Adam and Eve. God made them, perfect identity, no issues. But when they decided to turn away from God and turn to sin and doubt God's love, when they fell, they chose the way of darkness. You can almost think, you know, You know what this is like if you're walking around and there's obstacles on the floor, which getting ready for Christmas there probably are. And if it's a dark room and you're coming through the room, you're going to trip over things and you can fall and hurt yourself. Sometimes that happens in our house. Well, that's what it's like to live in sin. You're living in darkness. We say, I can do it by myself. I know this room perfectly. I know where everything is. I can walk through it without turning the light on, right? But we can't. We stumble. We feel as though we can be independent. I don't need anyone to help us. I don't even need my father to help us. You know, if you're a parent, you know what that's like. You're trying to help your child. And I'm starting to learn that instead of just taking over and helping, here, let me help you do this. No, I can do it by myself, right? Instead, a better question is, would you like me to help you with this? No. And then maybe 10 minutes later, I need you to help me with this, right? We're talking about just the real little kids, right? Well, we are the same way. And actually, when we see our kids do that, that's what we do with God, isn't it? I can do it. I don't need God. But John here in chapter 2, he talks about walking in the darkness, not knowing where to go, that we're deceived. We're loving things of the world instead of God. We're even becoming an enemy of God. And so as a parent, when your child says, no, I can do it by myself, all right, fine, have it your way. Do we walk away like that? No. We sit there patiently, knowing that we'll probably need, and yes, we do that sometimes, right? But we know that we'll probably be needed to help. God is the same way. He doesn't just leave you. He knows that you need his help. And so without waiting for you to ask, he sent his son, didn't he? When we were walking away, he was walking to us. He didn't leave us in the darkness. He sent a rescuer. Because it got so bad for us that we didn't even know we needed to call for help, did we? We were so lost. And he didn't just send Jesus. He sent him to rescue us, to be born so that he could die for us, to take away our sins, so that we could be restored to our Father as children, so that we could have a new identity. And now, John says, verse 1 of chapter 3, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. This love was in such a way that it was an adopting love, given a new name instead of a child of the devil or child of the evil. He talks about that in verse 10 of chapter 3. Instead of that, we're a child of God. But it's more than a name, isn't it? It's a new nature. We are reborn. So that's why he says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And he doesn't put the end of the sentence there, and so we are. We're not just called children of God, we are children of God. You know, that would be like, if you go to adopt somebody and they're still back with their other family or wherever they are, foster care, and you're calling them your child, but you don't have them. And over and over again. God brings us. We're brought to him. We've become his own. It's more than a name. John reminds us of this. Look at verse 28 of chapter 2, the verse we began with. He says, and now, little children. John is actually calling us what we are. And in verse 2 of chapter 3, he says, beloved. Again, term of identity. You are loved. We belong to God. We're adopted as his children. And whenever we are adopted, his love changes us. This word, see what kind of love the Father has given. This is in the perfect tense, which means it's been done back a long time ago. He's already given it, but the effects are lasting forever. Do you know this love? Are you one of his children? Secondly, the motivating love of God. We have a new practice. His love, when love changes you, other things begin to change. And I told you we don't have a car yet, but you know, when your car gets really old, you don't vacuum it anymore. You don't clear the trunk out. That's why when my car was hit, all the stuff in the trunk flew out. I even had painting clothes and my paint scraper in there from like a month ago. And one of the guys who was helping me there, he looks at me, he's like, "Oh, are you a painter?" I see the scraper in there. And then he looked at me, he's like, "You're not dressed for painting." Anyway, when we have something old, we don't have those same habits that we had when it was new, right? When you get a new car, you take care of it, you want to wash it, you want to vacuum it, you want to take care of it. It's different, isn't it? A new practice. And verse 29 here says, "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." See, when we receive a new nature, we also receive new power, new motives. We're no longer directed at ourselves. How much can I get for me? I worked with a guy. We were doing painting and building. This is years ago, after high school. And I remember talking to this guy up on the roof, or we were putting the roof on or something, building the second story. And he looked at me and he says, "I'm not loyal to nobody but me." And he never showed up for work again. We were talking about my boss. He knew I was going off to college. And the day I left is the day he left. I asked my boss later on about that. I said, "Hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? How did that turn out?" He's like, "The day you left, he never came back." And he had told me the day before that he was loyal only to himself. You see, when we get a new nature, things change. We're not loyal just to ourselves anymore, because it's not all about ourselves. It's not the world's lie of pursue yourself, get what you can. But now we live for our Father. We have a loving and gracious, servant-hearted Father. Our desire is to live for him. So you can see how he puts others first, so you desire to put others first, and you begin to practice it. You see, this isn't just something that happens like this. The kids were, we were going over our Sunday school a few weeks ago, and they did this little thing of, you know, when we become a Christian, they're so sad, and they're like, "I believe." They say, no, it's not really like that, is it? Now, it can be like that in certain ways, but it's a practice. It's something that happens over time. You see how patient God is, what a patient listener he is, and you start practicing that with others. You see how he sacrificially gives of himself, so you start practicing this. It's hard, isn't it? But there's new power with a new nature, and we begin to become more and more like him. Because now we have his nature, his motivations, his desire, his love. Verse 3, chapter 3, it says, "Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." What's in view here is active obedience, holy living. It's no longer, we're not practicing sin anymore. So those old patterns that used to be our go-to, we're at least starting to realize. So if someone said something to you, you would just fly off the handle angry or feel, ugh. But little by little, first you're realizing, why am I so angry? That's God's work in you. Celebrate the little things, the little successes. Let's not become overwhelmed by trying to attain the end goal all at once. Active obedience, seeking holy living. You know, that also means we begin to hate the things that we do against God, against other people. So if you're prone to anger, you begin to hate how angry you get. The more you know and believe you are loved, the more motivated you will be to love. The more you know you are loved by God, the harder it will be to sin. Imagine that. Are you practicing righteousness? Let God's love motivate you. Finally, number three, the merciful love of God brings a new confidence. You see, because of his love, we gain confidence. Isn't that true? That if we are adopted, we're all adopted in Christ. You see the love that the Father and or a mother in this human case gives to you. It brings confidence. I'm loved. I'm cared for. I'm accepted. And we gain confidence when we know of God's love. See, a new identity leads to new practice, and practice leads to confidence. Verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him." I want to tell you what this word means, abide. It's maybe not a word we use often. This is what it means in the Greek. "And now, little children, remain in him. Now, little children, stay in him, live in him, dwell in him, last in him, endure in him, continue in him." Do you see what it's all about in him? If we're not in his love, we cannot last. That's the picture Jesus gives us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Living in him and staying in him is evidence of our new nature, which assures us that we are his. Now, we don't do things to get in him, right? This has been the mistake of many. If I do a lot of things, then I'll be in him. No. We're saved by grace through faith alone. But that faith that we're saved by is never alone. Did you hear that? We're saved by grace through faith alone. But that faith is never alone. It practices. It's practicing faith. It's producing faith. And that confirms your identity. It's evidence that you are abiding in him. But I want you to see this word. "And now, little children, abide in him, remain in him." Why? So that, here's the answer, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. See, the other option is to shrink from him in shame, knowing we have done wrong or not lived according to his way. There's a story that we have at home, and there's a little girl in the story named Katie. And Katie wants to help her parents out, and so she's outside watering the flowers. And her mom says, "Katie, remember, do not water Dad's special orchid, because if orchids get too much water, they will die." So Katie's having fun. She's watering all the flowers, and she comes to Dad's orchid. She has a little bit of water left. And she's like, "Well, what's the harm of doing it? I want to help Dad. I want to do it." And she pours the water on the orchid, and by the afternoon, the orchid is wilted, and it's going to be dead. And Dad comes home. Katie saw what had happened to the flower, and she heard his steps coming, and she ran and hid because she knew that she had done something wrong. She knew she had disobeyed. And so her dad comes in and says, "Katie, did you water the flowers today? Did you water my special flower?" And she burst into tears and told him that she had, and that she had disobeyed what her mother had told her. And he said, I'm not happy about what you've done, but I love you anyway and always." That's what the book is called, "I Love You Anyway and Always." And he began to tell her the story of God, how we turned away from him and disobeyed him, but God continued to love us, even to the point of sending his son to die for us. Well, at the end of the story, Katie is feeling much better. She knows she's forgiven. She goes up to her desk drawer in her room, and she had the special chocolate teddy bear that she was saving for however long a kid can save a chocolate teddy bear. And she opened the drawer, and the wrapper was torn out, and there are only crumbs left. And she realized her little brother had eaten her chocolate teddy bear without telling her, and she got so mad, red in the face, and she went storming off to find her brother, and then she remembered. She remembered what she had done and how she could forgive her brother and tell him that she wasn't happy with what he did, but she still loves him anyway and always, demonstrating God's love. You see, when we remain in God, when we stay faithful to Him, we don't have anything to be afraid of. We won't shrink in shame, but we'll have confidence that when the Father comes, when Jesus comes, we will have confidence in His love. And how merciful is our Father? He doesn't give us what we deserve, right? He doesn't give us what our sins deserve. His love is life-changing. Have you received this love? Or do you feel shame before God? Do you live? Do you remain in Him? If you struggle with this, you can ask Him, God, help me to remain in Him. Will you pursue Him? You know, I'm at this point, I had a man to tell you about. His name is Chris. And I see Larry and Linda back here. They know who Chris is. And they could probably tell the story better than I could. So you can ask them about it after. But Chris was in need of life change. Chris was hooked, addicted to drugs. He was negating the responsibilities that he had as his father. He couldn't do life. And he knew that he needed a change. He knew that he needed help. And so he had to get to this meeting place. He had heard about this woman who could help him, who could connect him to this group that could give him hope. And he had this physical condition with his liver, and he needed water to be hydrated. He walked several miles in the rain during his withdrawal because he didn't have a vehicle. So trying to get to this place, finally got there. He was approved to go to Teen Challenge. And he actually had to be treated for dehydration when he got there. And he got to the train station. This is down in New Jersey. He got to the train station and finally got on the train. And at one of the stops, he got off to get some water because he needed to hydrate himself. And he heard the train's whistle. And he started running as fast as he could. The train was already leaving. And he jumped on the back of the train. And he's holding on, standing on this little piece of metal, where the train's going 80 miles an hour through New Jersey into New York. And the conductor found him at one of the stops at Penn Station, found this guy, and refused to let him back on the train because of this stunt that he had pulled. And he's just saying, I have to get there. I have to get there. And through tears, he's pleading with them. The transit police finally let him get on the subway to catch a bus to get up to Vermont, and then Teen Challenge picked him up earlier this month, and now he's up in Johnson. You can ask Larry and Linda about him. You see, Chris knew, he believed that God was a loving Father. He believed there was a new identity for him. He believed, he knew he needed a new practice, and he will need a new practice, won't he? And Lord willing, he will gain a new confidence. And you can have this too. And you might ask the simple question, how can I have this? And I'm just going to read you the Bible. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray for each one here that they would receive Christ. that they would believe in his name. For we know that you have given us no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. We know that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to be a child of the King. So would you work in our hearts, Lord, and those of us that are your children, help us to practice holy living that we might have confidence when you come. For you are coming again, and we await your coming. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.